morning and Happy New Year. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. It's about the visit of the Magi, or as Rona called them, the wise men, sometimes also called the kings. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. Here ends the reading. Please be seated.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this month, January of 2020, we are doing a series of Sunday morning messages that I call Looking for Jesus in All the Wrong Places. See, probably all of us have had those kinds of experiences in life, have been through those sorts of times where it can seem as though Jesus has gone missing, as though he's not where we were thinking he would be or desiring him to be. And at times like that, the first thing we need to do is check if we're looking in the right place to start with. And thankfully, the Bible helps us with this because the Bible has any number of examples of people who are sincerely looking for God, sincerely looking for their Savior, but what they didn't realize at first is that they were actually looking in the wrong place. The wise men that we have been hearing about today, the wise men, they were sincerely looking for Jesus, right? This newborn king. But what they did not understand at first, what they didn't get initially, was that they were looking for the wrong thing, looking in the wrong place, looking for the wrong kind of king. Not until God's word was open to them did they come to realize that this king was going to be found in the little town of Bethlehem, not the capital of Jerusalem, that he'd be the son of a carpenter and born in a stable, not living in some palace in the capital. And so we can take all these things and we can learn from these experiences even today. So during these few Sundays in January, we're going to learn why even faithful people might inadvertently be looking for God sometimes in the wrong places. And then we're going to learn how to use God's word as a guide in finding a Savior who's not really hidden at all. He's hidden, but in plain sight. It's just that we don't always look in the right place. But today we start with the wise men, the Magi who saw his star in the east, star or perhaps a special gathering of planets in the night sky, and they come to find the one who has been born King of the Jews. Now, when this star appeared, or the convergence of planets, what do you suppose these magi, these wise, learned men, what do you suppose their conversation was like? What did they talk about, or what did they say to each other? I mean, maybe it happened this way. Maybe first one of them said, "Hey, wow, look at that star up there. Isn't that amazing? What a whopper. Why don't we just follow it? Let's just follow it, see where it goes." And maybe a second one said, "Are you crazy? You can't follow a star. You would just go walking and walking and never get anywhere. Besides, you know how cold and rainy it is this time of year? Ah, come on, let's just stay home." And the third one said, "Yeah, he's right. I'm comfortable where I am. Just go to the fridge, grab another soda, and come sit and watch the football game." You know? Now, obviously, I'm making all of that up, but perhaps it might not have been too far from the truth. Maybe the wise men could have simply ignored the star, or they might have felt too comfortable where they were at to even think about exerting themselves in some long, strenuous journey. Might have gotten frightened by the idea of going someplace where everything would be different. The culture would be changed, be unfamiliar to them. They might have thought, "Hey, that star is there for someone else. It's nice for us to look at here. That's okay. But that's for someone else to follow." So you have to hand it to them that these wise men, I mean, they were pretty brave, right? For actually getting up on their duffs, off of their duffs, and going, well, wherever the star was going to lead them. To follow a star required a journey. A journey from the known, the comfortable, toward the unknown and the demanding. I mean, you know, we all know, even today, a journey, even in this day and age, it still has a certain amount of fear. There's a certain amount, even if just a little bit, of trepidation, because there's always a certain amount of unknown. What should we pack? Exactly what will the weather be like? What if we get lost or the car breaks down? And what if we can't find a place to stay? I mean, when you start thinking about all the different unknowns, it can almost be paralyzing. But a journey can be rewarding too. Seeing new sights, having new experiences, discovering new places. It can even open up whole new chapters in your life that you'd have never had without that journey. Wow, you know, I never thought I would have liked that kind of food. Or gee, I never realized I would enjoy this type of activity. So a journey, it also enriches you as a person, giving you something new that will always be with you. But to follow a star, I mean, to follow a star, that's something else altogether different. I mean, who or what is going to be waiting for you below that star? What is the true destination? Will you ever come back? Will you get to return? Or maybe you come back and you're a different person. You'll no longer be comfortable at your old place. I mean, star following, I mean, that is truly risky. And yet, as those who seek Jesus, God is constantly doing that, isn't he? God is so often dangling stars out in front of us, coaxing us, nudging us, challenging us. Just about the time that we get settled into a certain place in our lives or in the life of the church, then this star maker God of ours drops another one in front of us, another challenge, another test, and each one, each star invites us to take a journey, to make a journey from where we are to someplace new that God has in mind for us. Not necessarily a spatial, geographical kind of journey, right? But a faith journey, a spiritual journey to some undiscovered region of our souls, to some new and exciting place in our walk with Jesus. Sometimes we might think, "Oh no, not another star. Gee whiz, God, can't you just let me rest for a while? I'm tired of all the changes. Everything in the world is changing so fast. Can't we just stay as it is for a while? I'm comfortable where I'm at. And besides, where is this one going to lead me now? What do you have in mind, Lord?"
journey from my comfortable old sin to some undiscovered land of forgiveness. A journey from my self-pity and constant worry to a foreign country of trust, confidence in your word. A journey from my inward focus of self-attention to some new region of self-giving. A journey from my private, shy faith to some new location of authentic witness and sharing. A journey from me-ness to you-ness. I don't know about this, Lord. Come on, just settle. Let me be for a while. But you know, our Lord isn't much for letting us settle in and getting comfortable for too long. This star-making, star-dangling God of ours seems always to be on the move, forever in front of us somewhere, saying, come on. Come on, don't stop yet. Follow me. Yes, it's true. That star following is going to mean denying yourself, taking up your cross, but that's okay. That's the way I need it to be. That's the way I need you to be. God always seems to have a journey in mind for us. That's true for all of us as individuals, but it's also true for us as a congregation. Many of you have been around long enough to know that beautiful Savior Lutheran Church is different today than it was 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. And you know what? It's going to be different still in the future 20 years, 10 years, even 2 years. Why? Because God keeps on hanging stars out in front of us, giving us more opportunities to reach people who don't know Jesus yet. Maybe it happens, maybe a star comes along simply as the composition of our community changes, as the population changes because of immigration, people coming from other lands, other nations, Chinese, Russian, Hispanic, or anything else, and God dangles that star out in front of us. Maybe it happens when we identify a location to have a satellite kind of ministry of some sort. I don't know. Maybe it happens to you personally. Maybe God gives you that personal star to follow when you cross paths with someone and God starts nudging you just to have a conversation. To initiate a relationship that might help them see the star too. Follow me. Follow the star, Jesus says. Sure, I will, but I didn't know following meant always being on the move. I didn't know that following meant one spiritual journey after another. I didn't know that it meant opening up my calendar and opening up my checkbook and offering you treasure, my treasure of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Of course, sometimes we have the tendency to say, of course, yes, I'll follow, Lord. And then we just sit and wait for him to do something. Or sometimes we say, okay, Lord, I'll follow you, but then we set off in a totally different direction, like Jonah, you know, Tarshish instead of Nineveh. Or some say, okay, Lord, I'll follow you, but then don't even look up to see the star. You know, to follow a star means you have to look up, right? Why look up? Because God doesn't put stars on the ground. You don't see his stars if you're only intent on where you are putting your foot next, if you're just looking down at your own feet and not trusting where he's leading. Nor does God put stars in your belly button. I've checked mine. There aren't any there. Right? If all you do is gaze inward, if all you do is look only at yourself, you are going to miss the stars that God has prepared for you. If you stare at your own troubles long enough and tend to see your life in terms of woe is me, you'll miss the star that invites you to follow in order to leave behind those troubles for some important mission of sharing his word, of living out your faith. No, you have to look up to see a star. You have to keep on looking up and follow where it leads. And so I'm asking you on this, our first Sunday together in this brand new year, brand new decade, 2020, what stars is God placing before you? What stars is he placing before us as a congregation in 2020? Because I guarantee you that there will be changes, there will be differences, changes in our congregation as we look for the pastor that God has identified to serve next, changes in our community as some people move out, others move in, many of whom will not look or sound like us, changes in our world, big presidential election taking place this year, changes of all different kinds. Have you stopped to notice the star that God has placed in the heavens of your life? If not, or if you're getting mixed up because there are a lot of other twinkly things out there, then let me give you a hint. God's star is always in the shape of a cross, right? God's star is always in the shape of a cross. It leads you to Jesus and then out into the world reflecting Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to buy us back from the devil, to pay for all of our sins, to make it possible to have the gift of eternal life. And from the cross, he says, it is finished. And then he says, you are mine forever. It's guaranteed. Now take up your cross and follow me. You see, his cross is the star that guides us. What direction is it pointing us? What new thing in life will we encounter? What new people will it have us meet? Sometimes we won't know until we get there, but we won't get there unless we're willing to go there. But beware, there can be potential traps in star following. Remember King Herod, right? Go search diligently for the child. Then tell me so I can come and worship him too. You know, if the wise men had listened to that and obeyed him, then the star following would have brought disaster. Instead, they left for their country by another route. And I guess the potential trap of star following for us is that good intentions, like the wise men had, can sometimes lead to bad consequences if we, like Herod, misunderstand what the big picture is to start with. Look, every journey has potential traps, right? Complicated intersections and unmarked detours and potholes and icy bridges and all kinds of stuff, and suddenly you realize that you're somewhere off course. Let's not go off course in our star following. Following a star does not ever mean abandoning God's word. In fact, quite the opposite. The wise men would not have found where the star was truly leading them unless someone had finally realized, check God's word. What does he say? The Bible says, look in Bethlehem. That's where the star is taking you. So we never follow a star just because it looks pretty, but we look for corroboration from God's word. So star following means being wise, discerning. Star following is not the same thing as star gazing, right? Star gazing means dreaming, forgetting the real world. But star following, when you follow one of God's stars, you are still in this world, even with all the enticing detours and tempting stops along the way. And also look out for another trap. It sounds like this. Hey, that's my star. That's my star. I'll follow it the way I want to. No. Star following is always, it's always a group trip, never an ego trip. Right? The wise men traveled together. And for us too, let's not try to do it on our own. Merely a collection of individuals. We'll journey together on this journey. That way we can help one another along the way. That's what this congregation is for, right? But we don't want to be unrealistic. This star following business is quite often demanding, risky, dangerous, urgent, adventuresome. At times we might wonder during this year, we might wonder if we're even capable of it. Maybe God is just asking too much of us. Maybe we ought to just be content with where we are now, just be happy like this with each other within these walls. Well, yeah, we should be content and we should enjoy being with one another, but wow, this star-hanging God of ours is just so persistent. His star keeps on invading our privacy. He keeps popping up in our vision, keeps lighting up our skies. This heavenly star of the cross of Jesus Christ doesn't leave us alone. It keeps inviting us on his journey to travel to a land of forgiveness and peace and promise with each other. But we're going to need some help. We're going to need some help. That's why the God who hangs the stars also offers assistance. The one who invites us to follow him understands our times of uncertainty and timidity. And that's why the one who invites us, he also energizes us for the journey. And that's what this meal is for. It's more than a ritual. As we attach God's word and his promises, then what starts off as bread and wine, it becomes the body and blood of Jesus given for your salvation. It feeds our souls. It nourishes our spirits. When you get up from this altar, having been fed with his body and blood, you are sent off into a community to be an encouragement and a support, to guide others also as we travel to the place where God leads. This new year is going to mean pursuing the cross-shaped star that God dangles before us, knowing that he is the one who leads us. And right now, in this moment, at this time, at this place, he leads us to come before him, desiring his mercy and grace as we tell him how much we need him. So as you're able to, I invite you to stand right now as we go to God with prayer, seeking the salvation that only he can offer. Lord, how quickly time flies. We find ourselves at the beginning of another new year, and today we close out the Christmas season, but there's still so much more to celebrate, so much more wisdom for us to learn, so much more faith for us to grow in, so much more boldness for us to gain when it comes to following the path that you lay before us. And so we begin this new year by simply recalling the truth. The truth of our sin and our inability to free ourselves from sin's grasp. And yet we are invited by you, Lord, to confess our sins to you in the confidence that you have first chosen and loved us and provide us forgiveness for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Refresh us with your mercy and give us confidence to follow your cross-shaped star wherever you lead. Amen. And so the new year begins with a very old but constant, never-ending, never-failing promise that because of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.